Hello, world. It's the Ladies of Nerditude. My name's Francine.
My name is Jill.
And this week, we are very excited to talk with you about Black Panther, the new Marvel movie. Yay. I loved it. Did you love it?
fucking A, did I love it.
It was so good. It was wonderful. It was amazing. I just have so much gushy, lovey feelings for this movie. It was great.
Yeah, I'm still taking it in because I saw it not too long before we started recording this. I'm like speechless, honestly. It was so amazing. And it's like everything, the action and the costumes and the story and the detail and the how it fits into the universe. It was just everything was so good.
Yeah, they came out really strong.
Yes, they did. And I also loved, like, even though Black Panther is a man, like, the women in the story were so fucking badass, quite frankly. And none of them needed to be saved at any point. They did a lot of the ass kicking, and it was amazing.
Yeah, I loved it. I hope they carry several of the female characters into Infinity War with Black Panther. Like, I hope when he joins up with the rest of the cast, he brings some friends because his friends are awesome.
I think he'll have to bring at least two. I think he has to bring his sister and Ayo, but we'll see. I'm excited. Also, Infinity War is going to be made so much better with, like, the addition of the Wakandans. Like, it's just, oh my God. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's jump in. Let's talk about the film. From here on out, like, obviously major spoilers for Black Panther. So if you haven't seen it, pause or be prepared to be spoiled. That's up to you. But you have been warned.
Yes. Correction, not Ayo. Okoye. I got their names confused, but the general. I hope she makes it to Infinity War.
Oh, yeah. Deny.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like he has to bring Nakia with him too, because she's like there in the U.S. already. So that's at least three kick-ass women that he kind of has to take with him. Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
Just bring all of them.
So amazing. So let's jump in. Let's talk a little bit about the film and specifically like what things we really liked about it. Where do you want to start?
Honestly, I'm not sure because I'm truly trying to think of something to criticize, and I have nothing. So,
yeah,
I mean, pick a feature, and we can just go from there, because, like, everything was good. I thought the villain was interesting and understandable and relatable, and I thought that T'Challa was really cool, and, I mean, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know.
The one thing that I can't even say, like, didn't like it, but Andy Serkis's character, I was, like, happy when he was done. Like, when that part of the story was over,
but I was like, okay, thank you. Feel that way.
That's what my husband said, too. I was like, oh, I'm happy he died. And then he was like, you're supposed to be happy that he died. And I was like, well, good, because I'm happy that he died. He was so crazy, like so over the top crazy that I was like, okay, you're done. Your character isn't going anywhere from here. I'm good with you being done now.
Yeah, he was a little much. Can we say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I understand why he was a part of it and like why he was the main villain. And I'm trying to remember. Wasn't he in, he was in another Marvel, well, he was, oh, he was in Age of Ultron, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, so I liked the continuity of having him still around and being, like, the vibranium, smuggler thief guy, whatever he's supposed to be. I'm still, and I mean, maybe because the Marvel Universe is so freaking complicated now, maybe I just don't remember this, but, like,
it's true.
When was he in Wakanda?
He was an arms dealer who, like, came into Wakanda, I feel like, as a soldier at some point, and then like came back as like a smuggler, and he had inside people that would like help him smuggle the vibranium out of the country because he knew that like he himself wasn't allowed in. I think that's how it worked.
Okay, that makes sense.
But he kind of like, I don't know, he is sort of that like underground type villain, and then he himself is just like so over the top and so just crazy, like just straight up crazy, that I liked the contrast between him and Killmonger, because they're both villains but from very different places. Like, they come at their villainy from very different mindsets. And I liked when it turned over and we got like, okay, now you're going to meet like the actual villain of the film. Not the big hothead, like gangster smuggler guy, but like the more nuanced villain with a story where you almost are like, I see where you're coming from. I kind of agree with you in some respects. Like, you got a raw deal, man. I feel bad for you, but also stop trying to kill people. You know, like.
Yeah. Fair point. Please stop killing people. He kind of, Claw, reminded me a lot of Andy Serkis's character Smeagol. So I just mean it was deranged a little.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot. Yeah. Well, and then I was like, okay, I see obviously why you are the villain in the story, but the depth wasn't there, and like the like he had long connections to T'Challa and everything like that, and you know, he had like been a part of Wakanda, the Wakanda story, for a while. So in that sense, again, like, I appreciate the continuity there, but I was glad when his part of the movie was over. It's like, okay, now we're in it and we can move along and get to more interesting stuff. And that's not even really a criticism. That's just all I've got.
Right. I thought Eric was a really great villain. And like one that was relatable. Like, you understood why he was doing what he was doing, even if you didn't agree with how he was going about it. I thought his story was very tragic. Mm-hmm. And I thought his character's death was, I don't know, particularly moving, I think, because of what he was saying when he died. And he said that it's better to die than to be put into bondage. And I don't know, it just really resonated. And I thought that was important to make race part of the story, but not like the only part of the story. So I appreciated that it was his dying words, like in the movie, that he got to say that. So I thought his death was very moving, and I was surprised that he got to be Black Panther for a little while. So I didn't see that coming. So
he kind of like jumped right in there, and you know, it's your first day in the country and you're all like, I'm gonna be king, I'm gonna go straight for the top. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're like, you don't want to open a bank account first, or?
Right. No? Okay. Maybe get an ID card. Maybe like take a ride around the city. No, you're good. Okay. He like really had that one purpose about him that I think makes a really great villain. He knew what his purpose was. He knew what his next move was. And he thought that he was doing the right thing, which I think are all elements of a villain that I end up really appreciating, even if I don't agree with them, or if I'm like,
oh yeah,
they're just completely like wrong, but obviously they think they're doing the right thing and they think they're helping and they think they're getting justice. And I was like, wow, that's my favorite kind of villain. So I liked where he was coming from.
I agree. I need a villain where I understand what they're doing, and obviously, when you're the villain in a story like this, you don't think you're the villain. You think that the other guy's the villain. When you're the villain, you think you're the hero. And I liked it because I could understand why he thought he was the hero and why he thought T'Challa was the villain. And I understood that even though he was going about his plan in a very violent way, I understood why he thought that way and how his end goal to him was worth it.
Yeah. He knew revolution was the only way to, like, shake up Wakanda. And given where he grew up and the circumstances under which he grew up, he knew that violence was a way towards revolution. And those elements, like, you could really see how his plan was informed by his life experience, which I thought resonated in a really deep way. And I was just, that's great storytelling to me.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I also really liked the, like you mentioned, that they kind of brought race into it, but in like an informative way. And I liked how they were kind of talking about, like, who are our people, who are the same as we are. Like, is it other Wakandans? Is it African American people all around the world? Or is it humanity in general? Like, who are the us versus the them? And I really thought that conversation was so deep, and the way that different characters align themselves, like, oh, we are Wakanda, we need to look out for Wakandans first. No, it's about African Americans around the world and, like, taking back the world because we've been subjugated too long. And then by the end, they're like, no, it's about humans building bridges because only idiots build walls right now, which is a very political statement to make right now. Yes. In the world. And in universe, it is going to be really important because we all know what's coming. We all know what's going to happen in Infinity War. So it is about damn time to build bridges and get all the firepower you possibly can and all the technology you possibly can, because you're about to get hit with a major threat to the Earth, to, like, the multiverse.
Yeah.
On many levels.
Absolutely, because, yeah, it's all hands on deck, so, and I agree, I liked the progression of the movie of, it's just about Wakanda. No, actually, it's about Black people around the world and how we've been treated, and, well, actually, no, it's actually about humanity in general and how there's a bigger threat coming and what are we going to do, and we all need to help each other, because what good is it to have these good things and people around you suffer?
Yeah.
And you, like, are you really any better than anybody else if you just don't help the person next to you? So it had deeper themes than I was expecting in that regard. I mean, I knew that obviously that was going to be a part of the movie, but it was, the dialogue to me was so perfect because it would bring up these really big, huge issues in a very subtle, like, succinct way, like somebody would just say one sentence and it would have so many things behind it. It was flooring, honestly.
Yeah. And it was so, like, yeah, it was so digestible. Like, if you're a 14-year-old kid and you're going in to watch an action movie, like, you understand everything that's going on, but it also gives you little nuggets to think about later. Like, you know, you read the newspaper, you, like, go online and you watch news things. I don't know how people get their news now. And it kind of, like, sticks with you after, which I think is another sign of a great movie. It has legs that can, like, walk out of the theater with you. And I think that's great because we need filmmaking like that right now. I was very impressed with their kind of mix. I mean, it's a superhero movie. It's a popcorn movie. It's like a blockbuster. It's one of the biggest movies in the world right now. And yet it's so grounded and so real, and it's telling an actual story. I loved it.
It is. And outside of the rest of the Marvel universe, it just stands alone so well. And I'm just floored by it. And I also really loved how they showed diversity within Wakanda. It's like there's no one way to be Wakandan, and they had the different tribes, and each one had, like, a very distinct style or culture that you could see when they, like, in the way they dressed or the way they held themselves, things like that, which was a very wonderful nod to the actual nations in Africa, because they had a lot of the same types of print or hairstyles or jewelry, things like that. And I thought that was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Even the languages that they spoke, like coming at it as an anthropologist, I was like, oh my gosh, they're doing like different African dialects and like different languages. And we're seeing cultural dress and like the herders versus the river people and like the mountain people. And I was like, this is great. I loved that. It was like a little mini course in African cultural diversity. So cool. And yet they did it in a very, like, understandable way. You could see, like, the green-dressed people were different from the red-dressed people. So it was, like, easy to visually understand. But there was so much history in there. The costumers and, again, the writers just did such an amazing job with the details.
Totally. It was amazing, and everything was so beautiful. And I loved that they got to speak in the different African languages, and like there were subtitles, and it was like, no, like not everybody speaks English. Fucking read the subtitles. I loved
that. Right, yeah. Yep, like you're in a different country. These people understand each other, which was also really great. They would speak in their own languages, and they so everything was mutually intelligible between them, and we're like the people in the audience reading along because we don't speak those languages. It was wonderful. I thought it was such a celebration of very deep history that not your casual movie viewer may not know, and you could get a nice introduction to it in a really palatable way. It wasn't like challenging you to read a giant textbook. It was just right there visually for you to see and for you to hear, and you were just kind of like, okay, I get it. This is cool. I liked how they grounded Wakanda in real things. That was great.
Yeah, I agree. And I loved the melding of something that is considered like traditional or quote unquote primitive, and then they melded it with technology and they made it into this really amazing, powerful thing, like T'Challa's necklace that keeps like it's like a tribal necklace, but it keeps his Black Panther costume outfit, whatever you want to call that, armor inside of his necklace. And I was like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Tony Stark, are you taking notes right now? Because yeah,
for real.
There is someone that you should hire.
Yeah, I agree. That was a really great idea. And I loved T'Challa's sister, Shuri. I'm probably not saying that right. But she was fucking awesome. She was so funny. And I loved that she was this young woman who's in charge of all the technology and inventing in Wakanda, and nobody has a doubt in their mind that she's the right person for this, and she's creating some badass stuff. Awesome.
Yeah. She's my new favorite Disney princess because she is the princess of Wakanda.
Yes,
Marvel's a Disney property. So she's my new favorite Disney princess, hands down.
Oh, yeah. Loved and I her. Loved that she joined the fight without hesitation, and nobody tried to stop her.
Yep. Yeah, she was like, what? I'm here. I've got weapons. I've got training. I'm needed. My country, my people, my family needs me. So I'm not just going to, like, run away and leave. The women in general in this film were, like, right in it. No one, except for maybe the Queen Mother, she kind of disappeared when the fighting began. She was being kept safe in the mountains. But I loved how everyone joined the fight. Everyone was like, we need to defend our country, our way of life, and we get to say what's done with our stuff, not this like new person that comes in that tells us that there's a better way to be. We don't just have to trust him. We can think for ourselves and we can make a choice. And I loved that. It was great. Talking more about the other women in the film, I can't even pick a favorite. Like, that's so hard.
I think that my favorite was the general, honestly. I mean, the sister's really cool. Shuri's really cool. And, everybody was so cool. But I would say the general, probably not saying her name right, Okoye. But,
Okoye,
Yeah, she was fucking awesome, and I loved that when they were in that like place in South Korea, and she was like, "I don't want to fucking wear this wig," and it was just so great because it's like, yeah, because you don't need Hera to be beautiful and badass and strong. And she's just walking around like not having anybody's business. And fucking who kicks that much ass in that amazing dress? Like
in that dress, yeah.
Like nothing stops her whatsoever. And she's in charge. And I did like her character development because there's that point where she's like, no, I'm loyal to the throne, not the person who sits on it. But then she kind of stopped and was like, wait, what am I saying? Like, no, that's not right. And she goes and saves everybody from the rampaging rhino.
Yeah. Aw, that was so sweet when the rhino was like, uh-oh, mom's home. No, no.
Yeah, that was adorable.
It was great. She has so much, like, and I love Danai Gurira. She's an amazing actress. I love her on The Walking Dead. She can do no wrong in my eyes. She's wonderful. And to cast someone who is so, she has so many facets. She's, like, very sweet and really funny, but she will also straight up kick your ass, like, in a second, in the drop of a hat. Do not look at her wrong, or she will kick your ass. Perfect person for that part. She's amazing. She was funny. She was touching. I mean, she had to go up against everything that she thought she knew. Like, she was like, nope, I'm a traditional Wakandan. This is my job. Oh, wait, no, that's more complicated than I thought. She also was in love with a man who ended up taking sides against her. So she had to fight a personal relationship to, like, she had to choose between, like, country and love and, like, country and loyalty of individuals. Her role was so complex that I loved it. I thought she was wonderful.
Oh, yeah. I think she's my favorite. She's just so badass. But what did you think?
I mean, she was great. I really loved her. I loved Nakia as well, Lupita Nyong'o's character, the sort of war dog who was restless staying at home because she didn't like the isolationist policies of Wakanda. So she was like, no, I have to get out into the world and, like, help people because we don't help people here. We help ourselves, but there's way more people out in the world that need us. And so she kind of made that decision to, like, leave and do good in the larger world, particularly towards women in Africa, which I thought was amazing. When she was, like, saving the enslaved Nigerian women, I was just like, oh my God, I love her already. Like, her part was so, again, like, so complicated and so rich. And you can tell she loves T'Challa, like, right off. They're kind of they have that X energy, but you can tell that she totally loves him. And obviously, he's completely smitten and a fool for her. But she kind of has to, like, she has to come to terms with, like, what her power can do for her country because she doesn't agree with what they're doing right now. So she was like, okay, I'm going to take my business elsewhere. And then he kind of presents that solution towards the end where he's like, well, we need a voice like yours if we want to move forward. Like, we need you to come back so that you can leave again, basically. And that's okay for her to do and for them to still be together. And I loved that. That was great. Oh, my gosh. Well, so many good women.
Oh, yeah. And I loved when she had the chance to become Black Panther and she said no.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's like, I can't handle that. That's not my place to be that person. So, no, I'm not going to do that. And I was like, wow, that's a really huge thing to be offered that kind of power and to say no. And it seemed like to be the first female Black Panther.
And possibly, no. We don't really know. Yeah. She's a wonderful character. And just the rich, like, tapestry of opinions about Wakanda, like, everyone there seems to be so, their political seems to be so personal to them that everyone feels really invested, or at least everyone that we meet in the movies. I mean, obviously we're meeting, like, some pretty high ranking people in the Wakandan government, but everyone is so invested in, like, making Wakanda the best that it can be, but from a really honest place. Like, no one, I don't think, had any ulterior motives. They were just trying to do what was best for their home and for their nation.
Yeah, I agree.
and they just happen to disagree. You know, like, what is best for our nation? What is, how should we relate to other people? Should we keep doing things the way that we have been? Because it's been working, we're safe. But like, what does that mean when bigger threats come about, which is where we know it's going? So like, as the audience, we know that they can't stay isolated because there are bigger things afoot. And I liked kind of watching them come to that realization.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think you could really see it in T'Challa, because he was the one who was kind of like, I think we kind of need to stick in Wakanda. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, actually, you know, people really do need our help. And, oh, well, you know what? Actually, everybody kind of needs our help. And I liked seeing him kind of come about, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he kind of got thrown into a leadership position and he wasn't necessarily like ready. I mean, it's got to be tough. You're in mourning and you feel like you're responsible for your father's death. But hey, you're also king now, so please make some giant national decisions that will affect everyone that you know and love. That's rough. Like, how do you decide what kind of king you're going to be? I really feel for him. I feel like his journey was very real to me. It felt like I felt for him, and I enjoyed watching him kind of grow into the king that he decided that he wants to be.
Yeah, I agree. It kind of reminded me a little of The Lion King.
Agreed. Yes, 100%.
Where he unexpectedly lost his father, and then he, like, mm-hmm. you know, has to decide what kind of king he's going to be, and he has his moment to see his father again mm-hmm. and ask him what he should do, and his dad's like, I'm going to just kind of be vague and tell you to just do your best, son. So
you have to make this decision now. Let me be cryptic.
Yeah, but I loved the imagery of the Black Panthers in the tree. That was so amazing.
It was loved so that. Cool. Yeah. Well, and I love, did you read a little bit? Like, I did a lot of reading after the movie was over because I couldn't help myself. I'm one of those people that's like, let me read about the like reasoning behind why they made that choice, and like, what was the, you know, producer thinking when they decided that this was what they were going to do. And there was this article that came out about the sort of dream space that they go into. Mm-hmm. And it was so fascinating. I'm trying to find it right now so that I can explain a little bit better, because I don't trust myself to explain it correctly. But it was all about the sort of collective memory of everyone in Wakanda. That like spiritual energy is what you connect to when you eat the herb. And that's what like takes you on your vision quest into that world. And it was just wonderful. I loved that idea of it being a place for you to like transcend time and space and like connect with the other minds and energies and spirits of the people from your country. I thought that was wonderful. It was just so cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That sounds amazing and like very well thought out. I don't mm-hmm. I will admit I didn't read the graphic novels.
Yeah.
I did not know about Black Panther until I heard about, you know, him in the movies, and I was like, "Oh, mm-hmm. wow, I gotta broaden my reading, obviously," but I did not read a whole lot of articles about it because I just saw it a couple of hours ago, so I'm glad that you,
sure.
you read it. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, though. I can't help myself. Yeah, I can't help myself. I, like, get out of the movie, and I'm like, let me learn all about this because now I want to know everything. Like, why did you make that decision? Why is that color? Like, now I just want to know all the things. So, because I'm a nerd like that. That's how I am.
I support you.
But I loved that. That idea that like every decision that they made for the film was based in something that's real and real from the continent and the history of Africa. I loved it. Like that they pulled those ideas and those like kind of religious / spiritual tenets, and then they kind of made them work in the movie and connected them up to the comics. Loved it. I thought that was a great choice. It gives it its own feel. Like, it felt like a Marvel movie, but it also felt like this is a different corner of the Marvel universe. Things are different here, and that's okay. And I think that actually turned out to be a huge strength of this film, is that it wasn't... It's
very distinct.
Yeah, like, it had its own thing going on. And I was wondering at the beginning, like, when they first announced it, I was like, man, this is a tough point to bring in a whole new character and a whole new country. And, like, we've only seen it a little bit. How are they going to do this? Like, what's going to happen from this to Infinity War? But bravo to them, because I totally see the connection. It was perfectly executed.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, perfectly executed. Like, the car chase scene in South Korea, I was, like, sitting bolt upright in my seat. I was so into it. It was, like, the technology and the fast pace and the jokes, but it was so good. So good.
Yeah, we actually met a group of friends, like, who were coming out of the movie when we were going in. Like, my husband and I were going in, and they were leaving. And so, of course, I was like, what did you think? Don't give me any spoilers, but, like, what did you think? And they actually said they didn't feel like there was enough superhero-ness to it. That, like, the plot was great, but it didn't feel enough like a superhero movie. And I, having seen it now, completely disagree with that. I think... It had great fight sequences. It had the great car chases. Like, it ticked all the boxes of a superhero film. And it had a great plot. I don't feel like you could ask for anything more from it.
Right.
Like, maybe he didn't spend as much time in the suit as you might think a superhero would. But we got enough, like, Black Panther fighting, I think. And we also got other characters' shining moments. Like, they're not the superhero, but they also kick a whole lot of ass and are great supporters to the main superhero, who's the title of the movie. And I actually prefer that in this case to, like, 2 hours of Black Panther just fighting everybody by himself. I don't think that would have been as good of a movie.
No, it wouldn't have. And it would have been, I don't want to say boring, but I don't like the hero who can do it all himself. I don't need Superman. Mm-hmm. I need someone who needs help, because it makes all those flying people in capes more realistic.
It's true. Yeah.
Nobody can do it all alone. And I love me some teamwork, as we all know. But
yes,
I think it's also necessary. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. And I don't buy the victory. So yeah,
that's totally
in the
true.
End, when it was everybody in Wakanda working together and deciding not to fight each other and to get over their differences and everything, it was amazing. I cried, of course.
Did you?
Aww. Of course I did. You know I did.
I was going to ask, but I didn't want to call you out in front of everyone.
No, I'm just going to admit it.
Did you cry?
Oh, I cried a couple of times.
That's good, though. I feel like that's another sign of a really strong film, is when it affects you and you care about the characters. When they're in trouble, you're like, oh my gosh, I actually am invested. I care about what happens to you right now. Instead of just being like, yeah, whatever. It's fine if you probably die. Like, I didn't want anyone to get hurt or die.
I agree. I was invested in everybody, including the villain, which is rare. So, yeah. Fucking kudos, writers.
I was actually kind of sad that he died. I kind of wanted them to, like, to make him sort of a, like, anti-hero type character. I was like, come on, there's got to be a way to bring him back. But at the end, like, he made the choice that his time was up. And, like, he was done. And that there was no moving forward for him, which I respect. So I was like, okay, that's fine. I sort of didn't want him to die, though. Which I don't know. I have mixed emotions about that. I'm not sure.
No, I get that. I did kind of... Not that I don't like these parts of the movie, but I would say there's a couple of things that I would maybe alter a little tiny bit. Now that I'm
kind of
soaking it in a little bit, it seems like in the last few Marvel movies. The final battle is our wonderful hero versus the guy who has the exact same powers as him. It's, you know, I understand in this case especially why that was the case, but it's kind of like, it just kind of made me think of like, oh, you know, this kind of happened to Ant-Man and a couple of the other heroes who essentially faced a darker version of themselves, and that's cool here and there, but I feel like it's becoming more and more of a crutch in the storytelling. And I do love me some Martin Freeman, but he kind of didn't fit in as well as I was hoping he was going to. And I liked that because he was the one fucking white guy in Wakanda, they were like, you can just like shut up and sit down and your opinion does not matter here.
And like, you're not Wakandan.
He was like, okay. And he just stood in the corner.
And they were like, you're a pilot. Go be a pilot. That's what we need you to do right now. Thank you.
Yeah. And I was glad that while he got to play a part in the final battle, it wasn't like he was this guy who saved Wakanda. Because it's not the one white guy saved Wakanda. It was everybody did it. So I just kind of felt like his character wasn't used as well as it could have been. They used him in a really weird way.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I think I'm okay with it for the exact reason that you said. Like, he is out of place. He is the, like, strange bird in this case. And I kind of liked that about it because it didn't fall into the trap of, like, the white savior. Thank goodness it didn't fall into that trap. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, writers, everyone. I appreciate that so much. And I hope that we're going to see more of him later. Like, maybe he'll take on kind of an Agent Coulson-y sort of role.
Yeah, he did remind me of Coulson.
So I think there's more to come for him. But I appreciated that, like, he was not on stage at the UN at the end. He was in the audience. And I was like, that's right. No one's introducing them. He's introducing himself and his country. Thank you for letting them have their own voice and doing it on their terms. Because he's not a special. Like, he just kind of fell into the situation. He wasn't asked for. They didn't really need him, I guess. In the end, he was helpful. But he wasn't the tipping point that saved everyone. Thank you. I'm okay with him being a little bit of an odd duck. I think that was okay in this case.
And he also kept his mouth shut. Like, he knew all this stuff about Wakanda and everything, and he didn't say a word. He let them come forward and say it because they wanted to. Yeah. So I thought that was really great.
Yeah. And I appreciated his understanding of the type of diplomacy that was needed in this situation. Like, he couldn't go in and be the leader because that was not gonna fly. They made that very clear from like square one. So he kind of took a step back, and I think that was the smartest thing that he did the whole film, was be like, okay, you guys are in charge, I'll let y'all figure this out, let me know when you need me, if you need me, maybe you don't need me at all. And they saved him, which I liked. He went to save Shuri and the, you know, and then they kind of saved him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was nice to see. That, like, their technology saved the white guy. It just really puts, like, italics on how much the world needs Wakanda right now.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And I thought that was great.
It was good. It was so good. Everything is so good about this movie. But those are the only two, like, super minor little things that I could even think.
I even liked the Jabari and Mbaku. I thought I wasn't going to like them. The, like, mountain Wakandans that, like, nobody talks to. And they're the isolationists that, like, don't even want to really be a part of the meetings or anything like that. Like, they come down to challenge for the throne and then they're like, okay, peace out, we don't want anything to do with you guys. I even liked them. Like, I thought I wasn't gonna like them, but he was so funny when they, like, showed up to his castle. I don't even want to call it a castle, like his palace place. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you don't know anything about me. You don't know anything about my people. Like, you think that we're these horrible, like, savages, but we're actually, like, peaceful vegetarians.
it was yeah. great. That was I hilarious. Loved it.
They had such a personality, and they did kind of embrace their Wakandan-ness, and they were the ones that kind of stepped in at the end and, like, saved, kind of joined the fight and saved, turned the tide, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I really liked them. And I liked that they kind of were, like, friends by the end. I feel like it's a more united Wakanda. And that was nice.
Definitely. Definitely. Everybody it. Came the together. Oh, God.
I know. Everyone came together. It was beautiful. It was really great. And I also, I liked the sort of search for identity and, like, that whole what does family mean kind of question was there in the background. And, like, It echoed throughout the movie. Like, you've got his family, and then you've got Eric's family, and then you've got, like, the family of the tribes and the family of the nation and the family of humanity. And I loved that sort of through line that we got for the film. It's, again, it's just, like, so tightly packed together and such a flow to it. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yes. Like, I don't have anything to add to that. Like, like, I want to go see it again. Like, can we go
now?
I know.
I wanted to go see it again right after it was over. I was like, wait, is it really over? Are there going to be more post-credit sequences? I want more. Like, when's the next Black Panther movie coming out?
Oh, I
want to know.
Yeah, he better get another, like, standalone film. Because mm-hmm. Cap's got several. Iron Man's got several. I feel like mm-hmm. Black Panther totally should have several. Yeah. And I'm fucking stoked to see T'Challa and whoever else can come with him to Infinity War. Like, it's going to be mm-hmm. so rad.
Yeah. And can we talk about the post-credit sequence for a second? Because, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What?
Bucky.
I was floored when it was Bucky. I honestly didn't know what to expect. I didn't read anything about it because I was like, I want to go in completely surprised. I don't want to know. So I had no idea. And my mouth dropped open when he walked out. I was like, what? I couldn't even handle it. I must have made a really terrible girly noise too because my husband laughed at me. but Bucky is probably one of my favorite characters in the Marvel Universe. I mm-hmm. was really excited to see him kind of looking more right in the head. I was like, yeah, Shuri, you saved him. Yes, thank you. Because, like, he was rough the last time we saw him. Things were not going well. So I'm very happy to see that he was in good hands and very well taken care of and ready for Infinity War, question mark. We don't know what's going to happen. But I loved it.
Shit's going to go down. That's what's going to happen.
There's going to be a lot of shit that goes down. Seriously.
I mean, that movie's going to have to be like 3 hours long or something because that is a lot of characters. That's a lot of backstory. Mm-hmm. That's a big fucking battle. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, the cast list alone is going to be humongous. Just it boggles the mind. How many people are going to be in this movie? If you think about it, like, they've been building up each individual hero's cast, and then they're going to put them all together. Like, we're going to get everything from Guardians to, like, Doctor Strange to the Avengers to Black Panther, everybody. It's so much. It's just so much.
It is.
Yeah.
It is, and I'm fucking there for that.
Oh, me too. Oh, I'm completely excited. I hope it doesn't become a weakness, the fact that we have so many characters and so many storylines going on. My hope is that the threat of the main villain, of, like, the imminent threat of Thanos kind of, like, makes everybody focus and therefore focuses the film. That's really the only way I can see it going down. I can't conceptualize it in any other way because there's so much.
So much.
That's all I've got. There's so much.
I mean, I don't think it'll be a weakness unless it's not executed correctly. And it's going to be difficult because that is a lot of characters. That's so many heroes and villains, and it's going to take a moment to remember who knows who and who's heard of who, but who doesn't know that guy, and like, who has what stone and who knows who's got what stone, and so on and so forth. So it'll be complicated. I'll probably have to come with a notebook full of notes. To remember.
Do some homework beforehand.
And I've been rewatching the movies in the universe, but it's still so much, because I think they're up to like 18 movies now. It's just so much that
it's crazy.
Oof. Yeah.
Crazy amount of reference material and history that they've created for their own franchise. Whew, that's a challenge.
Yeah, those writers have got to be the most organized people ever.
That is a whiteboard that I want to see. The Infinity War writer's room whiteboard. If anyone has any photos of it, please send me one, because I really want to see it.
I mean, it's probably not so much a whiteboard as like the whole fucking room.
Like, right? It's a mural across the hallway.
Yeah. It's,
that leads up to the room.
Gosh. Yeah. Yeah. It has to be something insane like that. But what else is there to say about this movie other than everybody needs to go see it repeatedly?
Yes. You need to go see it immediately if you have not seen it yet. There were a couple other characters that we haven't really touched on. I loved Forrest Whitaker. His character was wonderful. It was kind of like a Rafiki-ish, like Obi-Wan type vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even he got like his own through story. Everyone just got their own story, and they all knit together in a really great way. I cannot applaud that enough. Like, I feel like I learned so much about this cast of pretty much new characters. Like, we had only seen maybe one or two of them before. Whole new cast of people. I feel like I got to know each and every one of them, and they had their moment in the story. And that was great to see. But his kind of connection. Yeah. His connection to, like, T'Challa's father, and kind of representing like the previous generation of the king and the kingdom, I thought was great. It was so, I cried when he did not make it.
I was not expecting that. I couldn't believe he interfered in the fight. I was shocked.
Yeah, I understand why he did it, and that made it all the more touching, but I was, oh man, that one hurt me. That was a tough moment, because he had been the father figure after, like, you know, the death of his father. He was the one that he turned to for advice and for guidance, and like, because he was friends with T'Chaka, and it was just so sad when he wasn't there anymore. But I understand that, like, it was time for T'Challa to stand on his own and not rely on like the previous generation. It was part of the kind of like growing up process, but it was still really sad.
It was.
And I also loved Angela Bassett. Ramonda, the queen, was just, I mean, I love her. She could read a phone book to me and I'd be like, tell me more. I'm so fascinated by everything that you're saying. I love her. She brings like a regalness and a gravitas to every role that she has. And I think it worked perfectly here. She was just amazing.
Yeah, she was very queenly. I mean, I 100%. Yep, that is the fucking queen of Wakanda.
Clearly. Like, yeah, clearly she's the queen.
And I loved her. I kind of wanted to see her.
Yes, she did. All the costumes. But her costumes were just insane, like insanely amazing. I loved it. I kind of wish that she had gotten the chance to kick a little ass. I sort of wanted her to like bust out a sword and just be an awesome warrior. But I understand that was not her place in the story. But I still love the sort of protect, like the lioness-like protection that just sort of emanated from everything that she said. It was a wonderful way to play that character. She's just a badass. Absolutely. I love her. So.
We all do. We all should. Yes.
I could just go on and on about everybody. They were all just so great.
They were. So how many panther claws does this movie get?
I feel like I want to give it all like 20 panther claws. Would a panther have 20 claws?
Sure.
I want to give them all of the stars, claws, whatever. Like perfect score all around. 5, 20, whatever we're using as a scale. It's at the top. It was great. How do you feel?
Yeah. I agree. Like whatever the fucking highest score is that you can get on this, like that plus 10. Because it was so good. I can't overstate that. Like, if you haven't seen it, go see it right now. I don't even know why you're listening to me on this fucking pod. Like, why are you listening to this episode if you haven't seen it yet? Go see it. If you've seen it, go see it again. Because I'm already hey, so, like, next weekend, guess where I'm going to be? So. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is hands down a movie to support. I'm so glad that it is such a commercial success because it deserves it and more. Like, it's a movie that I think if I were still teaching, I would make it an assignment to go see it because I think it's got so much to teach and it's so deep and there are so many different ways that you could just continually like interpret it and find connections in the real world to it. And I think that is just so wonderful to see in what I kind of thought was going to be like a fun popcorn superhero movie. And then I was like, wow, it's so much more. Like it is that and it's so much more.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was wonderful.
It was.
Go see it. Go see it again.
Yeah.
Buy it when it comes out.
Do all the things. Well, we could talk about that all damn day, and we should. But also, what are we going to talk about next week?
So next week, we are going to do a little more fictional science. We are going to be talking about, woohoo, bring a little science to the world. We are going to talk about cloning, a very hot topic in science fiction right now.
Creepy.
Yeah, it's, and there's a lot of different ways to do it. So I think it's going to be interesting to kind of think about all the different ways that one can express cloning in science fiction. I'm excited. It's going to be fun.
Yep. It's going to be interesting. I figure we'll talk about the Clone Wars. I feel like that would be necessary. And then
well, of course.
Altered Carbon, I think you said, and a few others. So if anybody has any suggestions about movies or shows or books that include cloning, please let us know. You can find us on Twitter, email, Facebook. We're pretty much everywhere. So, just let us know. Our Twitter is Ladies Nerditude, and our email address is ladiesofnerditude@gmail.com. And tell us what you thought about Black Panther.
Yes. We definitely are up for much discussion because there's a lot to talk about. So bring your opinion.
Yep. And we will read it next episode if anybody tells us anything. Please, somebody say something, damn it.
Please talk to us. We want to call you out on air in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. In a good way. So until next week, happy holiday. No, it's not a holiday. Happy week and Wakanda forever, huh?
Wakanda forever.
Bye.
Bye.